भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Name 488 in Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, according to this recension, is Sattva Staha. This Vishnu Sahasranam is a meditation on the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and with analysis, it is a whole course in Vishnu Tattva, the theology of, theology, advanced theology, Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam. That's the Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam is, of course, the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from, in a somewhat different way, of Vishnu Sahasranam. So, this name, Sattva Staha. Sattva means the quality of goodness. It literally means existence. Sat, existence. So I mean, it can mean good, truthful, and sta means to be situated in. Baladev Vidya Bhushan, the Gaurya Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, gives the, for this name, he gives the same meaning as the Sri Vaishnava commentator, Sri Parashara Bhatta. The meaning is he who is in the hearts of the devotees. Other meanings are also given, which I'll come to. He who is in the hearts of the devotees. That means that the devotees are situated in goodness. Why is that? Well, Krishna is situated in goodness and the devotees are situated in Krishna. They always think of Krishna. Krishna, Vishnu, I'm using these names interchangeably. Sadhu nam hridayam mahyam, sadhu nam hridayam tvaham. Madanyate na jananti nahang te bhyo managapi. Lord Vishnu told Durvasa Muni that sadhu, clearly in this context, the word sadhu means devotee. Sadhu nang hridaya. Literally, he says that the sadhus are my heart, or they're in my heart. The devotees are in my heart. And I am also in their heart. Why is that? Because they are in my heart, because they know nothing but me and I know nothing but them. In a love affair, in this falling in love, in the classical sense, a young man falls in love with a young woman and he and she can think of nothing but each other. That's nonsense. That's the material world. But it is a perverted reflection of the love that devotees have for Krishna. It's a perverted and truncated version, because the love that the devotees have for Krishna and the love that, Krishna has for his devotees is much, much more than even the greatest Romeo or Juliet could even imagine. So he's in the hearts of the devotees. Of course, Krishna's in the hearts of everyone. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayeshu arjuna tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in the hearts of all living beings. But particularly, he manifests in the heart of the devotees. He takes particular interests in the devotees. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho stinapriyaha. Krishna says, I'm equal to everyone. I don't particularly favor anyone. Oh, nor do I particularly reject anyone. Then he goes on in the very next line and says, Samaham Sarvabuddhinamaya, ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. But my devotees, oh, well, that rule doesn't apply for them because I give them special favor. So he says, yeah, I'm equal to everyone. Well, not exactly. I like my devotees. Yeah, I'm equal to everyone. But actually, I like my devotees. If I really have to admit it, I take special attention for my devotees. Krishna is manifested in the hearts of his devotees. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shyama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahma worships that original person known as Govinda, among whom the characteristics of are that persons whose eyes are anointed with the salve of love, which is a very poetic and beautiful way to put it. In other words, those whose hearts are full of love, their eyes are therefore full of love for Krishna. Such persons always see Krishna within their heart. How do they see him? In the form of Shyamasundara, blackish and very beautiful. And what is that form? Achintya Guna Swarupam. His form composed of inconceivable transcendental qualities. So this is how the devotee sees Krishna within the heart, existing within their heart, and he is there, but he's not seen by others. He's in the heart of everyone, but they don't see him. Guha, one of his names is Guha. That also comes in Vishnu Sahasrana, which means, Guha means the, well, there are various meanings of it. One meaning is a cave, one meaning is, just like a cave is a dark, solitary place, so it's the inner recesses of the heart. So Krishna's in the heart, but mostly he's not seen, he's not known. That's why people, if you go to a cave, a dark cave, they may be afraid to go inside. What's inside? There may be a lion living inside, or a bear living inside, or a ghost, or you don't know what's there. Maybe some tantric will catch you and offer you to Kali. You don't know what's. It's frightening. It's dark, deep. But the hearts of the devotees, they're certainly deep, but they're not dark because they're illuminated by Krishna and love of Krishna. Whereas for the devotees, they're the non-devotees. They don't want to see Krishna, so their whole life becomes dark. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoyandaka Jaha Krishna Tanahi Maya Radhika. Krishna is just like the sun, and Maya is just like darkness. Where there's Krishna, there's no darkness. Just as like when there's the sun, there's no darkness. So where there's Krishna, there's no darkness of the ignorance of Maya. So those who don't want to see Krishna, they live in darkness, in Tamogun, or the lower modes of nature. So Krishna's in the hearts of everyone, but he's particularly manifests himself in the hearts of the devotees. And that makes them all pure. By meditating upon Krishna, by remembering Krishna, they become all pure. And there's no By meditating on Krishna, there's no question of the darkness of ignorance or the darkness of sin remaining. Apart from that, Krishna likes sattvic people. Sattvic means in the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is it's the area of Maya in which one is in a marginal state. One can come from sattva-gun to the spiritual platform. Lord Vishnu is the overseer of the sattva-gun, just as Brahma is the overseer of the rajoguna, the mode of passion, and Shiva is the overseer of the tamoguna, the mode of ignorance. So in that way also, because the sattva-guna, the mode of goodness that is particularly linked, that rests within Vishnu, and he oversees that and infuses that quality of goodness. He makes it possible in this world, which is constitutionally dark and full of ignorance. This world is a world where people come to forget Krishna. Krishna bhuli seji vanadi bahimuk. Atayiv maya tare deya shangshara duk. Krishna come to, people come to this world to forget Krishna. So they come to the darkness of ignorance. Forget, they know Krishna, they don't want Krishna. So when there's Krishna, there's darkness. So this world is constitutionally a world of the darkness, of ignorance, but Krishna manifests sattva-guna in this world to help people to come from the sattva-guna to the fully spiritual platform. So Krishna abides in sattva-guna. He makes it what it is. He makes it possible. Maya is constituted of three gunas, including sattva-guna. Daivihi esha gunamai. It's coming from Krishna and Maya. So, mama maya, duratyaya, very difficult to cross. So, sattva-guna is one of the three qualities, sattva, rajas, tamas. But Vishnu is the presiding deity of goodness, of sattva. And we see that people, the more they're in the darkness of tamoguna, their whole countenance becomes dark. Their whole outlook becomes dark. They become depressed. As if they're walking under a cloud. Whereas someone who's in sattva-guna, they become radiant. They become bright. In their whole outlook on life, in modern pop psychology terms, that would be called a positive outlook. They're confident, but not with the confidence of arrogance. They radiate goodness, and as much all these qualities mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, non-attachment, Advaishta sarva bhutana maitra karana evata nirmamo nirahankara sama sukha dukkha kshami. They have all these qualities. Persons in the mode of goodness, they don't cultivate malice toward anyone. Rather, they have the tendency to be friendly and merciful to others. They don't think in terms, mine, this is mine, you get out of here, you leave it, it's all mine. Or they don't have this ahankar thinking, I'm so great, I'm doing so many good things. And they're equipoised in material happiness and distress. And in this way they're happy, even in distress. So these qualities of sattvic people, they radiate goodness, they radiate light. That comes, their countenance is bright. That comes from Krishna, because he is said to be situated in goodness, although actually all goodness is situated in him. But in the material world, whatever good, that is a manifestation of Vishnu. Of course, we have to understand what is really good. Really good means that which is connected with Vishnu. Without that, anything which is so-called good is not really good. Building hospitals and school, of course, in this country you don't build schools, but in India, building schools is considered a great charitable work. So this is all considered very good, and it's certainly better than building slaughterhouses, although the schools are another kind of slaughterhouse. the mundane schools. I guess it's better than being a serial killer. Although it's killing the soul. I don't know. I'm trying to give that as an example of being good, but I don't know if mundane schools are good at all. Giving charity, feeding the poor, these are all considered good, but they're not very good. But there's some attitude of trying to help others, even in ignorance, considering people to be the body, that may be considered good. So whatever goodness is in this world, that is due to the presence or the manifestation of Vishnu, even slightly. Even a dog looking after the puppies. It's not really, I mean, it's on the lowest level of good, but there's some affection is there, which is a perverse reflection of the love that Krishna has for his devotees. So even in that very low level, perverse reflection of love, the love of a dog for the puppies, then we can see that, we can see this is coming from Krishna, because Krishna loves us all. So whatever goodness is there in this world, even though there's no real goodness in this world without Krishna consciousness, that comes from Krishna, who is situated in the goodness of this world, because all goodness is situated in him. So there are different meanings of the word sattva. Another meaning is existence. He is situated. Actual existence is spiritual existence. What we take to be existence. We, in this world, it's mayic or illusory. We think, my existence, who am I? I am this body. Everything in relation to this body is me. So that is a illusory conception, because it's not existence in the sense that it's not eternal. We're just temporarily there in one body. But the Supreme Lord is always situated as he is, unchanging. Therefore, he is situated always in his existence. It's not that he changes from body to body to body. His existence is permanent. And existence exists because of him. He is the basis of all existence. Everything that is rests on him. Why does anything exist? Some philosophers asked Srila Prabhupada this question. Prabhupada didn't think it was a very good question, actually. Why does anything exist? Prabhupada said, no, that's the wrong question. You shouldn't ask that. You should have asked, from what does everything come? Why does everything exist? Prabhupada, he rejected that question. From what does everything come? Janmadyasya yataha. The reality is the basis of everything. There's no use to ask, why does everything exist? But if you do, the answer is, well, it's like that. Vishnu exists. Everything rests in him. And why? Eko Bahu Syam, the one who is Vishnu, became many. He expanded for the sake of pleasure. He himself wants pleasure, not the perverse pleasure of this world. So he expands as many, but all that's expanded, all that's material and spiritual, all rests in him. And so he is the situation of existence, everything. Let's put it simply, he's the basis of everything. Everything exists in him, which comes to the same point as what is the source of everything? Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yad prayatyabhi sang vishanti tad vijigyasasva tad brahmeti. This should be questioned about. Tad vijigyasasva. That's Prabhupada when he said, No, that's the wrong question. This is what you should ask about. That comes to the point. Tadvijig. This is the point to question about. Ato Brahma Jignyasa. What is the nature of ultimate reality? That from which everything comes, that which in everything rests, that in which everything again enters into. That is called Brahma. That is ultimate reality. So all existence rests on him, as he says, what is it? Aham Brahmano Pratishta. Brahmano, I am the basis of that impersonal Brahman. Those who consider that impersonal Brahman is the base of everything, but Krishna as Brahman, he is the basis of everything. So Satvasta, all existence, rests in him and on him. He is non-different from everything. He is pure goodness, his form, Achintya Guna Swarupam. His form is of pure goodness. There is of pure goodness, of pure existence. There is nothing despicable or blamable in Krishna, because he is, we say situated in pure goodness, but it can also be said that pure goodness is situated in him, which is correct. Both are correct. Krishna is all goodness. The situation of pure goodness is Krishna. It is non-different from him. Everything about God is good. So he remains in the hearts of all beings, but he especially likes people who are inclined toward him, or even who are inclined toward sattvic lifestyle. Or sattvic lifestyle, we think, well, that means being clean, being simple, not being greedy, eating simple foods, being a vegetarian. Okay, but that's not really... Really, the essence of sattvic lifestyle is the spiritual quest. Of course, there must be simple living, vegetarianism, and all these things. But simply to be a vegetarian doesn't put one in the mode of goodness, seeing as that many animals... They're also vegetarian, but they're not... That doesn't put them in the mode of goodness. Just being vegetarian. Monkeys are predominantly vegetarian, but they're not in the mode of goodness. So there has to be jnana yoga vivastitihi, adhyatma jnana nityatvam. There has to be the search for spiritual knowledge. Otherwise, simply to be clean and neat and vegetarian and not greedy, simple living, well, it's the touch of sattva-guna is there, but the real meaning of sattva-guna is not to live simply. That can also be a kind of sense gratification. I like to live like this. Then as soon as we say I like, then it's material. As soon as that motive becomes predominant. So Krishna, he likes sattvic people, sadhus, which ultimately means, and particularly means, devotees of Krishna. So there are various meanings of the word sattva that we can find in the dictionaries. It means, one meaning is the mind. He resides, he's the lord of the mind. Aniruddha is the Lord, as the form of Vishnu, who is the Lord of the mind. But I'm not going to get into that, because that's discussed in other names of Vishnu. He stays in the hearts of beings. He is known as Sattvasta. Vishnu is all-pervading. He's present in everything, but he's especially... mentioned as being manifest in the sattva-guna. Sattva-guna that gives clarity of thought that is necessary for realizing the Absolute Truth. And everything that we do and think and eat, that affects us, as we can understand from the descriptions of the three modes of material nature in Bhagavad Gita and elsewhere. So a devotee regulates his life, eats sattvic food, he leads a sattvic lifestyle, rising early, not endeavoring hard for money, all these things, not materially ambitious, lives life simply and cultivates spiritual, specifically Krishna conscious practices. So of course a devotee is on the platform, a pure devotee is on the platform of pure goodness. Sattvam vishuddham vasudeva shabditam. The pure goodness is the platform in which of Vasudev, from which comes Vasudev, from which comes the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But devotees observe these practices, they also become situated in the mode of goodness, which is favorable for cultivating Krishna consciousness. So this name also reminds us that we should, as devotees, or aspiring devotees, we should cultivate the mode of goodness which is pleasing to Lord Vishnu, who says in Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna Nirdvandvo Nitya Sattvasto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. So Krishna tells Arjuna, you should be always Sattvasta, Nitya Sattvasta, situated in the in pure state of spiritual, Srila Prabhupada translates this, in a pure state of spiritual existence. The whole verse translation. The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. O Arjuna, become transcendental to these three modes. Be freed from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. So sattvasta means to be established in the self. Krishna is always established in himself. We read in the description of Krishna as an ideal householder in Dwaraka. He would rise early in the morning, setting the example of Sattva-gun, and then he would meditate on himself. So what do we learn from that? We should rise early in the morning and meditate on ourselves. No. We should rise early in the morning and meditate on Krishna. Krishna meditates on Krishna because Krishna is the proper object of meditation. Dhyana avastita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginaha. The yogis see him in meditation. So we should follow Krishna by meditating on Krishna. So Krishna is situated in himself. Krishna likes to think about himself. Well, everyone likes to think about themselves. Well, no. If we're in pure existence, we like to think about Krishna. In Maya, we like to think about me, aham mameti, I, me, and mine. But that just entangles us more in this world. Think of Krishna. When Krishna says, nitya sattvastha, always be situated in sattva, that ultimately means always to think of Krishna. People say, well, that's just your Vaishnav commentary. But that's the way Srila Prabhupada gave us Bhagavad Gita as it is, and that is the ultimate meaning of being situated in sattva. This sattva-stha, this term comes also again in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, urdvanga chanti sattva-stha madhye tishtanti rajasaha jaghanya guna vritti-stha adhoga chanti tamasaha. Those who are situated in sattva, sattvasta, they go up. Those who are in rajaguna, they remain in the middle. And those who are in the abominable, this is the way Prabhupada translates, jaganya, abominable, mode of ignorance, they go down to the hellish worlds, they go down. So sattva-gun lifts us up. By being situated in sattva, we go up. We may go up to the heavenly worlds, we may go beyond the heavenly worlds, the planets of the rishis or the planet of Brahma, or beyond that to impersonal Brahman, but ultimately we want to go up to Krishna. So Sattva-gun helps us to go that far. Helps us. It's not an end in itself, but because it's connected with Vishnu, it's very favorable for practicing Krishna consciousness. The karmis, that means those who are following karma kanda in the Vedic process, they are situated in the mode of passion. Generally speaking, they're in the mode of passion. They want material fruits. Below them are the people who don't even follow the Vedic process. They're in the mode of ignorance. When one becomes a yogi, then he becomes inclined to the mode of goodness. Even a karma yogi, he's performing karma, which means activity, which is connected with the mode of passion. But because a karma yogi cultivates not being attached to the fruits of his work, then he moves towards sattva-guna. His aim is to become, by doing so, sattvasta, situated in goodness. And the gyanis and yogis, they're very concerned. They must live a very sattvic lifestyle, otherwise jnana or yoga won't work at all. By yoga, I'm talking about dhyana yoga or ashtanga yoga. But the devotees, they very easily become situated in sattva-guna without having to regulate the minutiae of their lives automatically by taking Krishna prasadam. Their food becomes more than sattva, becomes shuddha sattva on the completely spiritual platform. They automatically want to rise early in the morning to glorify Krishna. They automatically become infused with sattva guna, and even more because Krishna himself is shuddha sattva. Krishna is all purity and goodness. So devotees very easily, even without particularly endeavoring for it, become situated in sattva guna. Their particular endeavor is to satisfy Krishna, to be absorbed in Krishna. But Krishna himself is all goodness, so they naturally become infused with that. And in fact, only the devotees can be fully in sattva, in their proper existence, because as long as we're not Krishna conscious, we're not properly situated, however otherwise sattvic we might appear to be. So devotees, are situated in sattva, as is Vishnu himself, because the devotees are situated in Vishnu. So, as I said, this Vishnu Sahasranam is a whole theological treatise, and you just had a sample there of one name. There are another 999. I have now another 511 to go to finish commenting on these names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prasadam will be served now. Sattva gun means we shouldn't eat sumptuously at night. You can take prasadam. Remember Krishna and take prasadam. Yeah. But also remember while you're taking it that, yes, this is Krishna's mercy on us, but also we have to rise early in the morning to serve Krishna by chanting all these things. So remember that as you honor prasadam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.